And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The gang is all here. Darren, that's me. Derek.
It is I.
That is him. And Donick.
Hello, gentlemen.
That is him.
Ladies.
Hello, hello. You know, I watched a lot of recaps yesterday.
Did you just say ladies?
Yeah, for the ladies out there. Yeah, ladies
listening
to our
come
show.
Come on. I said Shane. Chase, come on.
I mean,
well, I always say hi to the ladies.
Carolyn's still back there. I mean,
exactly.
She's leaving, but, you know.
Absolutely.
Greeting like, everybody.
Come on, D. How's she dealing with Marian Hosa?
She's sad.
Yeah.
Oh. She's sad. What's going on with Marian? Is he stepping down?
He's out for the year.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Willie hasn't heard the story yet.
I didn't catch that. I was watching.
Do not have
NHL Network.
You don't
this
get
morning.
Updates whenever something happens to the Blackhawks? I get updates to my phone.
From Carolyn?
No. I don't think this was anything she was rushing.
She wasn't excited.
rushing to share that. Hey guys, can't wait to tell you Hosa's out for the year.
How could you be out for the year already? What happened?
Well, look at the story. He's got some and I don't know. I want you to look at it, Derek, because you're an athlete. And by the way, hey, Brayden, shut the door. We're doing a radio show. Jeez. Shut the door.
I wasn't listening here.
Golly, Brayden Gall, a freaking tornado coming back from vacation, coming in our studio while we're doing a show, leaves the door wide open.
Actually, he was in Omaha.
Well,
that's
okay,
still vacation.
He was on vacation.
He was working.
What was he doing? Was he behind the plate?
He wasn't here.
No, he was doing his shows. He was doing shows.
He wasn't here, so he
wasn't here.
No, he wasn't here.
Yeah, was so he on the morning show? Was he on Brayden and Fitz?
No.
Okay.
He was on vacation then.
Okay. Okay. Then I was right.
I heard Omaha's a
progressive
place.
Skin disorder.
Yeah. So
side
I
effects
want you to
of
look
medication.
At this, Derek, because you're an athlete, and I don't understand a ton of because I don't think I've ever heard of this before. I don't believe it. I know there's been other examples, but it's a skin disorder. And what jumped out at me is it's weird because he's already pronounced himself out for the year. I mean, we're sitting here in June. Like, I don't know how this works. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing you can do now to try to prevent this from being whatever happens.
Oof. Apparently, this is
And here's the other part. Is this it for him? I mean, he's 38 years old.
38. He has experienced allergic reactions to his equipment. Now, I've heard of that before. Remember, years ago, in fact, this was the first Predator team. They had a pretty good young defenseman who had a chance to be pretty good, or chance to have a long career with them. They thought, here's a guy alongside of Kimmo Tiiminen that could play here for a while. His name was Jan Vopat, and he had the same thing. He had a skin rash that he couldn't control. It was the equipment that ignited the reaction.
That's so weird.
But Marian Hosa's been playing for so long. I don't know what.
I mean,
started
the league,
this.
How long?
Now? Did it just now start to happen?
I'd like to know more details.
Is it what
about
they're washing the? You know, it could have a allergic reaction to the detergent they're using. I know that happens to people.
I mean, he's been in the league since the Predators had their first season. He was playing in the league. The Predators had their inaugural season. That's how long he's been around. So how has he been able to pull this off and have an unbelievable career dealing with that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that, Derek?
I've never heard of the disease or the allergic reaction he's having to his equipment. Typically when you hear that, it's just like in you know, our listeners, someone might know more about it than we do from that standpoint. But typically, because my daughter had an allergic reaction to detergent I was using. So I had to switch to detergent.
I think everybody,
exactly.
I would think, has had that happen
at
some
once,
point
yeah.
in their life.
So yeah. I had to switch to detergent. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard of, because it's one of those things where you've been playing all this time, and has there been other episodes of you having of this happening? Or is it just now?
It says he's been under the supervision of the Blackhawks medical staff for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So behind the scenes, they have privately been, they've been undergoing treatment for this, weird skin disorder.
Okay, so here's my thing. And maybe they've tried this. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say they hadn't tried this. Maybe they've tried this. Him wearing, you know, something under, some type of bodysuit underneath his clothing.
I'm sure they've tried.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure they've tried. But once you start sweating, I think it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, this is the word they use is progressive, meaning
it's been getting worse.
It's really bad. Yeah. I mean, like I said, for him to announce in June that he's out for the year, that's what jumped out at me. I'm like, wow, like you've still got many months to tackle this and get this under control before the start of the season. I mean, they don't start playing until October.
He signed a $63 million deal in 2009.
Yeah,
he's still got 4 years left, even though he's 38. It was an insane contract that people were signing those kind of contracts back then. That was kind of in the en vogue way to grab a free agent.
So what does the Blackhawks do now?
Well, they could put him on long-term injured reserve, which would give them cap relief. Mm-hmm. So the question is now, remember they pulled this a couple years ago.
Can you settle in hockey? Can you, because in basketball you can do, you see it happen in baseball where they come up with an agreement, well, we know you're not going to finish. Let's come up with a number that both sides feel good with, that we can kind of buy you out.
I don't know. And the other question would be if he retires, mm-hmm. right? I guess right now he's saying he just can't play this season.
Well, it's interesting.
If you retire, I think you're done.
But listen to Stan Bowman.
But then
Bowman.
What happens with the cap?
Listen to Stan Bowman's words. This is the general manager of the Blackhawks. Talking about this deal with Hossa. This is extremely difficult, but he wanted to make sure that he praised Hossa for his contributions to the team. It's almost like, does that not seem like he's saying goodbye?
Yes.
Thanks for everything?
Yeah.
Because he's
38 years old. He takes a season off. Why? Well, I mean, unless there's something within his contract or the collective bargaining that says if you retire, you don't get any money back. Kind of like the NFL. If you retire, you might have to pay a portion of that money back because it's prorated. Mm-hmm. If you just leave the team, which is unfair because they can cut you at any time. But maybe it's like that in hockey as well. If you leave before your contract's over, then it's already prorated. It's already against the cap. You got to give us some money back. Maybe he doesn't want to do that.
I wonder if they've started the process. There are rules in place. I haven't seen him released here. But I know if a guy retires early with a lot of money left, there is a cap hit. There is a cap hit that goes to the team, and it's not pretty. So there's a lot of things going on here. They can get the cap relief because he's on long-term injury. I think they can get some of that money back to spend on other players, which they would welcome because they are certainly.
Do you think it's covered by insurance too? Maybe they get some of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it too. So I'm sure there's been some serious discussion since the end of the season on what to do about this. But this is sad because this is one of the classiest players. He played for Brent Peterson, as we've talked about a lot on the show, when he was a junior coming up. And Brent knew when he was at Portland for the Winter Hawks that this is going to be a special player. Marian Hossa has been one of the best of his era. So it's a shame to lose this. But it is going to be a big story what the Blackhawks are going to do. As a result,
the Blackhawks team doctor said he strongly supports Hossa's decision not to play and called it the appropriate approach. And he says, listen to this, to keep him functional and healthy in the short term and throughout his life.
It must have been eating away at his skin. It had to be affecting him internally for a doctor to say that. It's not just your regular run-of-the-mill skin rash. You put some cream on it. You know, we deal with it fine. You're out of the gear for at least 2 or 3 months.
Because you believe lotion cures all.
Exactly. You get some good lotion, man. You're good. It's not cheap. But that's why, to me, it's now affecting him internally. So, this might be the last time we see Hossa in the uniform. So.
So weird story. Saw that this morning, first thing this morning, and I thought, wow, a rare skin disorder, and he will miss the season. And as we just discussed, who knows, that may be it for Marian Hossa, who had an unbelievable career. But he is 38 years old. He's going to sit out an entire season. That would bring him back at 39. And, in fact, his birthday, I believe, is in the midway point of the season. I think it's like January.
So he would turn 40.
So that means he would turn 40 next year. So, you know, you do wonder. Not everybody can pull off a Jaromir Jagr. Not everybody can keep playing well into their 40s, even though Matt Cullen certainly seems like he's trying to test it. Have we heard anything, by the way? Has he said anything, Matt Cullen?
Not that I've seen.
Since they won it?
I don't think I've seen
it. Ride off into the sunset, or is he going to attempt this again? You know what? We can ask Nick Katsunika when we come back.
This is the man. This is the man that could have answers to these questions.
Well, and he's out in Vegas. So, big night in Vegas. We're going to find out who the Predators are going to lose. Certainly, the Vegas Golden Knights will start, as we will all see tonight, putting together their roster, because they're going to unveil who they have decided to pluck from every team.
And I watched the NHL Network coverage, and they had three different guys. Brian Lawton, who was actually a general manager at one time, as well as a former player, Alex Tanguay, and Mike Johnson. All three had different guys going from the Predators. One had Aberg, one had Sissons, one had Neal. Pretty interesting.
So we'll find out, and of course the award show, and we wish David Poile much luck tonight, and I think he absolutely deserves to win GM of the Year. But we'll talk to Nick Katsunika from NHL.com. We'll do that next on 3D 102.5 The Game. Happy Vegas Expansion Day to all of you. I don't know exactly what that means. It means we will find out tonight what their roster is going to be comprised of and who the Predators are going to lose. Back here on 3D, Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Nick Katsunika from NHL.com, who was nice enough to join us many times throughout this incredible journey the Predators took us on all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. He joins us. He's out in Vegas slumming it out there. Nick, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Did you accept insurance from the dealer or did you decline?
I always decline.
I do too. We were talking.
I haven't had a chance to play much. There's too much hockey news going on.
Yeah, you're working. I understand. But let's talk about something that we were discussing in the first segment. This story that most of us woke up to about Marian Hossa being out for the year, rare skin disorder, just a strange story. What do you know, or is it just too early to know other than kind of what we've read? But just, man, just sounds like not a lot of fun for him. And he's going to have to already sit out the year, and you wonder at 38, he would be 39, he'd be turning 40 next season if he came back, because I think his birthday's in January. What do you think the future holds for Marian Hossa?
Well, I don't know much more than what you've read, but what I do know is that this isn't the first time this has happened. There's been other players, that have had to stop playing hockey because of this. So it's no joke. I know the medicine, that apparently he was taking can have severe side effects too. So it's not just the skin condition, it's the medication and what that does to your body. So, all I know about Marian Hossa is he's a great player. He's a great professional. He showed, no indication that he was slowing down or wanted to quit this last season. I mean, he had a bounce back year. So I think it's really unfortunate, and, I fear that we've seen the last of him in the NHL.
So tonight, the unveiling of Vegas's roster, also the awards, a lot going on where you're at out in the desert here tonight. So a lot of eyes here in Nashville will be paying attention to what happens tonight. Let's start with the awards. Obviously, we're very biased, and we're rooting hard for David Poile to be GM of the Year. We think he should. Rightfully so. What do you think?
Well, I think he should be. I think GM of the Year is through two rounds. So I don't, I don't think they considered, them getting to the final. But just the team that he built, in two different ways. One, you know, swinging bold trades. I mean, none bolder than PK Subban. But also building, you know, depth through the organization. You know, you have, you know, your Aubergs and your Goudreaus coming up, you know, and that Milwaukee influence in Nashville. There's a lot of credit to the rest of the staff, of course, you know, Paul Fenton and the rest of the, you know, the executives and scouts. But, you know, David Poyle's really built something special in Nashville, and, you know, I think if he is recognized tonight, it'll be well-deserved.
What's your gut feeling on where this is going to go with George McPhee? I saw, I know you were there holding court. He's been coming out and now talking about it. They're going to get a slew of defensemen. There's a lot of stuff that was being put out there yesterday that seemed like that there was some negotiations with some general managers in the league, a handful that had some travel issues, and so he was still in heavy talks. What's your gut feeling on how many moves we're going to hear about tonight, and do you think the Predators could be involved in any of them? Because we are kind of hearing rumors out there that maybe Toronto is, you know, Vegas is going to pluck James Neal, then flip him to Toronto and the Maple Leafs. We know Mike Babcock and Lou Lamoriello were here during the conference finals. They were in the stands. They were in a box. They were watching the Predators and the Ducks. Does that mean maybe they were eyeing Vatanen? Are they eyeing Neal? What's your gut feeling on all this?
I did see Babcock and Lamoriello in Nashville when I was there, and I believe they were there looking at Anaheim and looking at Ducks defensemen. But obviously they're looking at both teams, so I wouldn't rule anything out. I know David Poyle wants to be active, and I give him the benefit of the doubt for all the reasons that I just listed. So I got to think he knows a lot more than we do, but we'll see. I mean, James Neal might be so valuable, to the Golden Knights that they're just, you know, they're going to take him and deal him. We'll just have to see. But I think you're going to see a whole lot of trades tonight and then a whole lot of trades tomorrow, both with the Golden Knights and with other teams. This was an advantageous process for McPhee, and I think he's trying to take full advantage of it, not only to build a team for, you know, his first season, but to, you know, really stockpile draft picks so he can build a contender. He's had, you know, a great ability to kind of, you know, hold auctions all throughout the league, and I think we're going to see the results of that tonight. I think they're going to do very well.
We've been trying to figure out, because in sports, whether it's hockey or in other sports, when expansion happens and a new team comes in, everybody's had a different approach, right? I mean, we've seen in the NFL, Carolina and Jacksonville came in together, and Jacksonville took the "we're going to build for the long term and start out with youth and acquire," you know, do it that way, the slower process, where Carolina was much more aggressive. Said, "We want to win, and now we want to hit the ground running." What's your gut feeling being out there, being around McPhee, just talking to people, just when they put this thing together? Do you think it's the hit the ground running approach because they have advantages better than Nashville had in 98 and Columbus and Minnesota had in 2000? Or do you think they're kind of slow roll this thing and just build for the long term and the long haul?
Well, it's a bit of both. I mean, Bill Foley, the owner here, wants to win, and he wants to build a cup contender within a few years. But I think they have the ability to sort of do both, where they can have a pretty competitive team on the ice and also have tons of picks to build through the draft at the same time. I don't think you need to do necessarily either or with the way that they set up the system. So, if you look at the players that are available, there's lots of good ones. Obviously, if you have to pick one of the two, McPhee is all about building through the draft. Like, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it in this league. And I think he has every intention of doing that.
Nick, let's talk about what we're going to see with Vegas this year. It does look like, as you put together all of the mock drafts or whoever you think they're going to end up with, I think McPhee looks like he's going to be pretty successful in putting a team out on the ice that is certainly not going to be overmatched. They're probably not going to be a great team, but they could certainly be what he wants, competitive and interesting. And yet still he's building a lot of assets. If what he kind of let out there yesterday, that they've got at least six deals in place, you know that's going to be a lot of draft picks. He looks like he's accomplishing both goals, which is probably not very easy.
Right, and I think that's precisely why he wants to do. I'm ready for surprises tonight. Like, I think we're already starting to hear some things being leaked, like Eric Halla signing, and that becoming the Wild's pick, and then the Wild sweetening the pot with a prospect. Like, I thought, Vegas would pick Scandella or Dumba, you know, so I think we got to be careful, you know, judging this before we see the lists.
Right.
Because there's been so much wheeling and dealing going on until we get the full picture. It's going to be hard to judge. It's going to be a fun show tonight just to see how this all played out.
Let me circle back to Marian Hossa for a moment, because Shea Weber, of course, signed one of these contracts. And you remember this, Nick, when there were, before the last CBA, there were a lot of these huge long-term deals being signed, 10 years, 15 years. And at the time, the implication was if a guy retired early, you couldn't get out of it. There was going to be a salary cap backload or something like that. I do wonder what the discussions have been behind the scene about Hossa if he can't keep playing. We mentioned his age, and he's still got 4 years remaining on this huge deal he signed with Chicago. So what is your knowledge of what could happen there? Because I'm sure Stan Bowman, who's already in a crunch salary cap-wise, is trying to figure out, you know, if they can ensure it and he can get relief in the short term, that's good. But if he retires and then he gets hit with the remainder on that contract, that's not good.
Well, he won't retire. I can guarantee you that. I mean, the reason this is controversial is his actual salary back dives starting next season, to where he's only making $1 million each of the next four seasons in real money. So, you know, if the Blackhawks have to pay him $4 million to retire without officially retiring, that's what they're going to
do.
So then he goes on long-term injured reserve, and they get the cap space, and they just have to pay him $4 million as a, you know, golden parachute.
So that's a pretty good loophole there for the Blackhawks in that scenario.
It's a loophole that's been used before. I mean, Chris Pronger, is a great example of that, where he did not retire. The Flyers even traded him to Arizona. So this is something that's been done before. People aren't happy about it. But, you know, to me, as long as there's a legitimate medical reason, then I have no problem with it.
Another thing, this ties in to maybe what the Blackhawks would be looking at, but there's a lot of discussion about what everybody else is doing as well. And I guess we can't really tackle this in depth until we see who Las Vegas picks. But how would you rate overall, Nick, the free agent class that's out there? Because there are a lot of people here in Nashville, for example, saying, well, if you lose a James Neal, then just go out and let's go find somebody like a TJ Oshie. But it does look like there's a limited amount of guys that are hitting the market. And if that's the case, you know what the prices are going to be. Not very cheap.
You just answered your own question. That's why you don't want to lose guys, because, I hear a lot about, well, get rid of this bad contract if we have cap space. Well, that's great, but then what? Like, then you have to use that, money to go chase somebody else, and usually you have to overpay to get them. I mean, it's a market. You know, the high-end free agents are limited. You know, the cap is not high, so that restricts it a little bit, but all it takes is one or two teams with space to drive the price up, and there you are. So a lot of times in free agency, you end up overpaying because you have to win the bidding war, and then you have regrets. So, I think it's a usual year where there's a few big fish, and they're going to get big contracts. And, if you look at history, not everybody is happy with their free agents usually.
Okay, Nick, here's the last one. We asked everybody we've had on this week. Let's assume there's no deal between George McPhee and David Poile. Right now, we certainly, if there is one, it's been kept very under wraps. So who would you take if you're George McPhee? Who has the most value to you?
Neil, in a heartbeat. There's a lot of good forwards exposed. But, I mean, it's hard to find a guy who scores 20 goals at least and can score up to 40. Neil's a scoring winger that has a lot of value. You know, to me, at the absolute worst, I take him, and he starts the year on my team, and then he's a trade deadline flip, and he'll bring a lot of value at the trade deadline. So to me, it's a no-brainer. If there's no deal with Nashville, I'm taking James Neal.
Nick, tell Pete Rose we said hello I'm sure you'll run into him at a casino.
You know what? I've run into him here before.
I bet you have. Hey, thanks for doing this as always. It's always good to catch up with you. Have fun tonight. We'll be watching from here in Nashville, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right. That is Nick Katsunika, NHL.com. And tonight, the award show starts at 7 o'clock our time on NBC Sports Network. It's slated for 2 hours. And during that award show, Vegas will unveil their roster. So a lot of eyes here in Middle Tennessee on NBC Sports Network tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll take a break, come back with more here of 3D, 102.5 The Game. Richard Deitch from Sports Illustrated to kick off the second hour of 3D. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day, 10 to 2.
And a late addition, Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated will join us at 1.
All right, boy, a lot of good stuff there. Tomorrow is the NBA draft, so a lot of stuff where tonight in Vegas we'll be watching, tomorrow the NBA draft, Friday NHL draft. So we were talking about this during the break. And this is just my opinion. This is the way I look at it. I think probably one, as Nick stated, because I said, who do you think Lamoriello and Babcock were looking at the most when they were here for the conference final? Were they looking at the Predators or the Ducks? The real answer is they were looking at both. But which one do you think they were looking at a little bit more than the other? It probably was the Ducks, because they have some young, attractive defensemen who were indeed left unprotected, and maybe there's a deal in place for Toronto and Vegas, because they're going to take one of them and they're going to flip them to Toronto for a pretty good price.
And that's what Toronto needs. They need defensemen.
Yeah, and so that would make sense. But the other part of this is, I was telling you guys that I believe, this is just my belief, that McPhee either has a deal for James Neal now in place that we will find out tonight, or he may still say afterwards, after they say we've protected James Neal, and then okay, he's out there for the taking, who wants him? But to me, you're either going to get your best price tag before all this or at the trading deadline. Like, I don't believe, like, after tonight he can get the most bang for his buck. Right after that, I think then he would have to wait, if he doesn't have something already in place, until the trading deadline, because it only takes one desperate team who believes they're one James Neal player away from really going for it and saying, I think we can win it if we get him. I mean, you know, that team always happens, whether it's Eastern Conference or Western Conference. There's one general manager who says, I know he's going to be a rental. I know we're going to have to bite the bullet and give up probably too much, but if we get him, we believe we can win it, and that's all it takes. So then you get a pretty good hefty load for James Neal at the deadline. Or he'd gamble now, and he's made a deal already in place with somebody to then flip James Neal when they unveil tonight they're taking him, and they're going to flip him somewhere else.
I would think it was the latter. That
you think?
Yeah, that he already has a deal in place. To then flip Neal, flipping somewhere else and get draft picks or whatever else comes with it, because now you have security in choosing them. But either you can choose them and keep them, but more than likely you choose them. You already got a deal in place, and you flip them to someone else, and then now it's someone else's responsibility to sign James Neal to a long term deal. Would it be Toronto? Possibly, yeah. That's where he's from, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's not the biggest need of the Maple Leafs. They've got a lot of forwards. Boy, they got forwards coming out of the ears there. So I don't know if that's what they're doing, but you can't rule anything out at this point, because George McPhee has been foreseeing all this for months, right?
I'm sorry to cut you off, Willie. How many years does James Neal have on his contract?
One. He's got 1 year left. And I think that's a really intriguing thing.
Okay, so the possibility, because I'm going to bring it all back full circle, and it might not even happen, I'm just looking at all possibilities, that the Preds are thinking he has 1 year left on his deal. We put him on an unprotected list. He goes to Vegas. Vegas, then again, say they, oust him to Toronto. He has a good season in Toronto. the Preds are thinking, now he's a free agent.
Right.
If we want him, we can get him. We still can get him.
Yeah. That's been thrown out there. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Is he'd be back on the market, theoretically, mm-hmm. if he chose, and then they could sign him back. Now, James Neal is, he'll be age 30, I think, when the season goes on next year. I think if you look at his numbers, you could make the argument that he's right on the back end of his prime, right? I don't think his career is pointed in an upward direction. He's mm-hmm. he's put in a lot of time in the league. He's had tremendous consistency in production.
He will actually turn 30 before the season begins.
Okay, so next year is his age 30 season. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of hockey left in him. The question is, what can you expect? Is he plateaued? Is he going to start declining? Because the next contract, somebody's going to have to make a decision. How much great hockey does he have, and is he worth more than what he's making now, $5 million a year? You know, he and his agent are going to be sitting there going, hey, you don't get this kind of consistency on the market very often. We want 4 or 5 years at $5-6 million a year. I mean, that's likely what they're going to try to do, I would think. So all that being said, George McPhee has been, as soon as the Predators did not protect him, I'm sure George McPhee is in this position. David Poile, I think I can get a lot for James Neal. If you want to make a deal to protect him or other players, you're going to have to give me a lot here, because there's nothing that says that George McPhee is, as soon as that player was unprotected, he could go to every general manager in the league and say, what would you give me for James Neal? James Neal's unprotected. I can take him and I can swing him to you. What are you willing to give me? Right? Like you, as you mentioned. So the question is, can you get more now when all the GMs have their off season in the horizon? In other words, they haven't committed money to any free agents or anything. I think he might be able to get more for James Neal now, George McPhee, than he would at the trading deadline next year when everybody's up against the cap. There are a lot of teams that will cross him off the list, right? You're only dealing with a handful of teams at that point that would be in contention and want him. And you're only guaranteed to have James Neal for a handful of games, 12 or 13 games, by the time the trading deadline goes around. So he's a rental player.
So let me ask you this. The news today about Marian Hossa being out for the year, who knows, maybe his career is over in Chicago. That leaves quite a void with the Blackhawks. This is a guy who scored 26 goals last year. 26.
Marian Hossa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I know they have cap issues, but this does free up some money. And I don't know what their pipeline looks like. Is this a team now all of a sudden that becomes very interested in James Neal with Vegas?
It's a great question because I guarantee you Chicago will target somebody to replace Hossa. They need a winger. And they have a little more cap space to work with, as you said. They don't have much, but they could probably pull together enough research, especially if you hear about them about Vegas taking Marcus Kruger's contract off their hands at $3 million a year. They could probably cobble together enough space to go get one established player. James Neal is relatively inexpensive, for at least for 1 year, at $5 million a year.
That's
quite
a
really
void.
Interesting question. But now George McPhee would have to go to Chicago and say, okay, you want Neal? I'll select Neal. I'll trade him to you. But what are you then giving to me?
That's what I'm saying. I wonder.
I don't know. That's where Chicago's problem is going to be. Is what are their assets to give?
I don't know.
Their depth players weren't all that impressive.
I don't know what their pipeline looks like, but they could be a desperate team because you lose Hossa. How do you fill a void of 26 goals? That's right up James Neal's alley, right? That's right in his wheelhouse. You could expect to almost plug in James Neal immediately, and you pretty much that's the production you would expect out of him.
For 1 year.
Right, for 1 year. So I don't know. Does maybe now this news, a late push by Chicago for James
Could
Neal.
Be Chicago, but I think as we've just laid out there, and I don't think we've given this a whole lot of thought until today, but in theory, George McPhee could be on the phone with every general manager putting this together. How does James Neal look on your roster? You got a fit there? We can talk. What are you going to do for me? You know, they can be wheeling and dealing. He's done a pretty good job.
I'd love to see their big board right now.
We talked about it yesterday. He's like the godfather. You got to go through him. You want to make a deal, you got to go through me.
This is what Chicago's offering. This is what Toronto's offering. This is what Nashville.
And I'm sure when David Poile says, why can't you just make a deal? I just, I'll give you my first, whatever it is that he's offering. George McPhee say, David, I got deals with 30. I can deal every team in the league about James Neal as we sit here today because I can select him and then tomorrow I can trade him to those guys. I got better offers than what you're offering me right now. So that's where the Predators are kind of stuck, to where that if there's no deal in place and there's no deal coming, that's probably why.
David, look at the deals I have on
this. I got a lot of deals.
Got a lot of deals. You got to come better than that.
Kiss the ring. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of 3D next. Here on 3D on this Wednesday morning. Don't forget, it's race night tonight at 6 o'clock. Liz Allison's profile piece will be none other than Matt Kenseth. A really good conversation with him during the 6 o'clock hour tonight here on 102.5 The Game. You'll want to hear that. NBA, a trade yesterday. Just said it. Their draft is tomorrow night. Dwight Howard looks like he is on the move.
Again.
Yet again. To Charlotte. What should we think of Dwight Howard?
And I've heard this. Is Dwight Howard a bust? I don't think Dwight Howard's a bust. Because if you look at his resume, 8-time NBA All-Star, 5-time NBA First Team, All-NBA Second Team, 2-time Third Team, Defensive Player of the Year 3 times, Defensive First Team 4 times. I mean, the young man, he's led the NBA in rebounding 5 times and blocks 2 times. So this, from all intents and purposes, you look at his resume, he's been a really good player, really good. He had a stretch in there where he was dominant. But when he left Orlando, it just went downhill. It went downhill. I know he tried the thing with the Lakers after he left Orlando. I think it was eight years in Orlando. Really good, solid years, good. He was arguably the best big man in the game. But then he went to the Lakers. That didn't work out. Went to Houston. That didn't as much work out. Now he's in Atlanta. Double-double guy, but a guy with his talent, and Willie can expound on this more, a guy with his talent, 7 foot, can move, athletic, he should have just dominated. And I think that's what people were so frustrated about Dwight Howard when he left for Orlando, is that you were looking for him to dominate. And
does he have
never
killer instinct?
I don't think he has it. That's why Kobe was so upset with him.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Because he doesn't have it. To me, I think Dwight, which is great in today's market, you know, you make as much money as you possibly can. Dwight is about making money. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's completely nothing wrong with that. He's not about winning. Dwight is not about winning. He want to make as much money as possible and still be relevant.
I watched him recently.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
You ever watch the show Tanked? The guys that make big fish tanks.
Yeah, yeah.
They're out in Vegas. And they do all the.
I remember he was on, yeah.
All their episodes are basically sports figures, mm-hmm. you know, celebrities. It seems like all their episodes, which is good. You know, that's it's a good way to get people to watch.
Exactly.
And one of them, they've been on this kick with a lot of NBA players. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Dwight Howard. And I watched in their episode, you know, it's an hour long show. Mm-hmm. And Dwight Howard is in it a lot. Obviously, they built one. And they really didn't. It was more for a snake. He's into the snakes. Mm-hmm. So they built a tank. But he just came off as a big kid. And yeah. I know that's it's a television show. But he just came off in that episode as just a big kid. That's why I questioned, does he have killer instinct? Does he really? It's not like he wants to lose, but is he willing to do whatever it takes to win? Like, does losing bother him?
I think he is, which is great. Which is great. I think he's just a big kid that enjoys life. But like you said, does he have that killer instinct that puts you in a position to be the greatest, that puts you in a position to win championships, that puts you in a position where you can take constructive criticism and get better? I don't think he has that.
Let me
just don't.
Let me just
he's
say
31.
This. Let me tell you where I'm going with this, Derek. Mm-hmm. Last night, we had a playoff baseball game, and we lost a heartbreaker, 18-7. 18-17. I mean, a crazy five-inning game, extra innings, a nutso game, and we lost a heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. Two outs, just a crazy game that we had in control. And you know how they always say, you know, the line, there's no crying in baseball, right? Uh-huh. Some of our kids were, I mean, they were shaken. I mean, they were upset. Because, like I said, we had them on the road. They were the number one seed, and we just lost a really tough one last night. That was a tough one to swallow. And some of our kids cried. I mean, they bawled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the, you know, one coach, yeah, there's no crying. But you know what? I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you guys feel. Because you know what that told me? Those kids, man, they were all in. Mm-hmm. They wanted to win that game. And I know it's 5-6 coach pitch. But I actually looked at that as I was okay with that because, to me, I want somebody who wants to win. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with it. The reason they were crying is not, yeah, we lost because they really, really wanted to win.
They got into it.
And they were into it. And it was a crazy game. And we lost on a heartbreaker. And they were visibly shaken and upset. And you know what? I loved that about them. Mm-hmm. I loved because they were all in. This is a 5-6. I want kids who want to win. Mm-hmm. And, yes, you want to win in the right way. Mm-hmm. You want to lose in the right way, right? You don't want to be poor. I would rather them cry and be upset than kick dirt, throw helmets, mm-hmm. not want to shake hands, right? You don't want
exactly that.
That's what you don't want. But the point is, to me, that kind of told me they're starting to get that makeup of, hey, I want to win. If I'm going to do this, I want to win.
Yeah,
don't you want that?
Oh, of course
right?
you do.
I mean, that's what you want. And I do wonder, is that what Dwight – I mean, Dwight Howard's made all this money. He's a tremendous player. But really, when you get down to it, does this guy – I'm not – like I said, I'm not saying that he wants to lose. But when they do lose, if they lose, if they don't get to the playoffs, is he upset?
Does he go home and not sleep? That's a fair criticism. But the other thing I would say would be he just – for whatever reason – he has not been able to add layers to his game to become all-time great or a franchise player for a long term. I think now you look at him, he basically is what he is. He's a good center, but he's expensive, right? He's still a double-double guy, but he doesn't average 22 points a game anymore. He averages more like 13 to 15 mm-hmm. points a game. He'll still get 12 rebounds. So it's all about where he is in his career. Like Hakeem Olajuwon into his 30s, he just kept adding
layers
moves
to his game.
And layers, and he got better and better. Dwight Howard just is not that guy. So it depends on what is your expectation. For a guy that when he came out of high school as the first pick of the draft, the sky was the limit, and he helped lead the Magic to the finals at a pretty young age. At that point in his career, thinking, hey, if this guy keeps getting better, we're talking about Hall of Fame. But it's just not... He's not that guy.
No. Nah. He and he'll probably still end up making a Hall of Fame. I don't think so.
He would be close.
He would be close. I'm not going to say he's going to make it, but he would be close. Here's the measure of a great player to me. And this is what and it kind of brought it back home to me, and I went when I was on vacation with my son and we were in the pool and throwing a football and he kept wanting me to throw to his right hand. And I'm like, "Derek, why work on your strengths? Let's work on your weakness. Let's throw it to the other side and get better." To me, that's the makeup of a great player. When you see your weakness in the offseason, you get better at that. It's great to work on your strengths. People can do that all day. But if you can't work on your weaknesses and make that a strength, then you're not willing to be a great player. It goes to Dwight Howard, you didn't add layers to your game. I know you worked with Hakeem Olajuwon in Houston, but you still didn't add layers to your game.
That was a critical point in his career because he was there and
exactly.
Hakeem was wanting to work with him, and it just I never saw anything different in his game. In fact, his numbers started to decline when he was with the Rockets. You know, part of that is you know who he's playing with. James Harden has the ball a lot. He's going to score a lot. He may not have had to score as much, but I was really curious about that stage of his career.
But then when you see people like Kobe Bryant, I'm not going to even mention Michael Jordan because there were not film of him out there working with people, and I've doubted if Mike ever worked with anybody. He's worked with himself. But when you see video of Kobe Bryant working with centers, and I saw a video. I watched a video for about 25 minutes of LeBron James working with Hakeem Olajuwon. Brought Hakeem Olajuwon to his place. I want to better my game. I want to learn low post moves.
That's
he
so important.
He sat there with Hakeem Olajuwon and worked on low post moves. LeBron's not a center, but he's trying to add layers to his game. He's trying
and
to be
great. And
you saw
that. I've seen him
exactly,
use
yeah.
moves
like, do we
that look
think
more
Dwight
like
Howard
Hakeem.
Has no, ever that's no. ever Mm-mm. crossed his mind to do something. I just, you know, and I don't know, but it just, he doesn't come off as that guy that's willing to do whatever it takes to be great.
Some guys aren't wired that way.
I know.
Some guys just aren't wired
I know,
that
but
way.
But that's, it's disappointing when you have the talent to be that way, right? He could
and he's still,
own.
He's still a great player.
But
he's just yeah, not
he's
an all-time
a really good
great.
Player.
But
just,
he has yeah. a ceiling. Because he doesn't have that extra layer. He doesn't have that killer instinct. Do whatever it takes to take over and dominate and will your team to win,
and,
to victory.
And having the being humble enough and having that greatness within you to say, you know what, I'm going to watch other people. I'm going to see what
does
what
he
makes
study
them
the
great.
Game? Is
exactly.
he a student of the game?
I don't know. And like me. Playing with Kevin Dyson, I've told this story many times. Playing with Kevin Dyson, I would watch Kevin. I would watch him. And I was the older person, but I was watching him to see how can I take facets of his game and incorporate it into my game to be a better player. So I had no problems with watching Kevin in practice when he was going one-on-ones. I didn't have problem with watching Mark Clayton, or didn't have problem putting on tape of Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. Guys like that, Steve Smith, and watching things that they did and to see if I can incorporate them in my game to make me a better player.
We'll come back, kick off the second hour with Richard Deitch next.